Some people are just born to give their lives to helping others. Hello, gals, and welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women Over 40. I'm Becca Jacobson, here giving my life to helping others. Just kidding, that wasn't talking about me. I love every minute of this, so there's no sacrifice. But today I want to talk to you about Peace Pilgrim. Have you heard of Peace Pilgrim? I was introduced to this woman by Wayne Dyer. Have you heard of Wayne Dyer? You probably have, because we're of a similar age. Wayne Dyer mentioned Peace Pilgrim in one of his recordings I was listening to a few years ago. So I looked her up. And this is a very amazing woman, and I have her book here in front of me. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to share a short quote from her book after I tell you who she was, and we'll just talk about how this affects us on our sobriety journey. But before I do that, I want to remind you that starting Monday, day after the day after tomorrow, we are doing a short 7-day momentum challenge right here on the snippets and in your inbox. This is not a type of challenge you have to sign up for. You just tune in and check your inbox, and I'm going to walk you through 7 days learning all about momentum and giving you daily little actions you can take to help with momentum in your sobriety journey. So be sure to show up next Monday for the momentum challenge. Meanwhile, let's talk about Peace Pilgrim. Peace Pilgrim was born Mildred Lisette Norman. She was born in 1908 and died in 1981 in a car accident. She's an American spiritual teacher, mystic, and peace activist, but here's what makes her interesting. She began a cross-country pilgrimage for peace, walking across the United States with no money, no possessions, no home, relying entirely on the kindness of strangers. She vowed to continue until mankind learns the way of peace, and ultimately walked more than 25,000 miles over nearly 3 decades. The book I have of her is so amazing. It's a picture of her on the front. Looks like she's in her, probably 70s, at least 60s by this time, out walking down the highway with a t-shirt on that says Peace Pilgrim. So gals, in her book, she didn't sit down to write a whole book, but what they did was they put together some of her journal entries and things after her death and made a book about her. And in the book, it explains her death, which was so tragic. Someone was giving her a ride and had a head-on collision, and she was killed instantly. In fact, she was on her way to a talk. Because of her journey across the United States on foot, of course, people wanted to meet her and hear her, and so she had invitations to talk at different cities. And unfortunately, she should have probably been walking that day instead of riding because she went quickly in a car accident. But anyway, listen to this. Gals, you know, I'm looking at her book. I'm like, oh my God, I have to share this with the gals. I'm going to read a fair bit, 2 paragraphs. So bear with me, please. Here is what the Peace Pilgrim says about purification of thought. If you realize how powerful your thoughts are, you would never think a negative thought. They can be a powerful influence for good when they're on the positive side, and they can and do make you physically ill when they're on the negative side. I don't eat junk food, and I don't think junk thoughts. Let me tell you, junk thoughts can destroy you even more quickly than junk food. Junk thoughts are something to be wary of. Let me tell you a story of a man adversely affected by negative thoughts. He was 65 years old when I knew him, and he was manifesting symptoms of what was called a chronic physical illness. When I talked to him, I realized there was some bitterness in his life. However, I couldn't put my finger on it right away because I saw he was getting along well with his wife, his grown children, and the folks in his community. But the bitterness was there just the same. I found that he was harboring bitterness against his father, who had been dead for many long years, because his father had educated his brother and not him. He was a very intellectual person, so I talked to him at length. When he, the oldest son, was to be educated, his father had absolutely not enough money to do it. In fact, the family was very poor at that time. There were several sisters after him, and I think 3 of them hadn't been educated either. His brother was the youngest, and by that time his father had more money and was able to educate the brother. He didn't begrudge his brother the education, he just thought he should have gotten it too. When he saw intellectually that his father had done the best he could with both of his sons, he was able to release the bitterness he had been harboring. That so-called chronic illness began to fade away, and soon the condition was much more improved, and then it was gone. If you're harboring the slightest bitterness towards anyone, or any unkind thoughts of any sort, whatever, you must get rid of them quickly. They are not hurting anyone but you. It isn't enough to just do right things and say right things, but you must also think right things before your life can come into harmony. Gals, that was Peace Pilgrim in her book called Peace Pilgrim, Her Life and Works in Her Own Words. How is that for beautiful? And you know, that is exactly what we've been talking about here on the Snippets. Not that long ago, we did the book study of As a Man Thinketh, and that's exactly what we learned. Your thoughts affect your body, right? We talk about physical illness coming through negative thoughts and emotions, more importantly than thoughts, even emotions. But how can you really have a thought without the accompanying emotion? So if you're going to think a negative thought, it's going to bring a negative emotion, and it's going to make you sick. We talk about this so much here, but it's so difficult to do. And so today I just wanted another reminder for you, another inspiration to keep yourself thinking beautiful thoughts. But hey, that's easy to say, right? Simple enough to say, right? I can say that a million times. How the hell do you do it? How do you do it? How do you commit to this? Gals, the truth is, it's just a practice. It's just that, a commitment. You just say, I'm going to do my best. But the most important thing about it is to be endlessly patient with yourself. Endlessly patient. When you're trying to think better thoughts, when you're trying to train the mind, you must think of it as a puppy or a baby. You wouldn't beat the puppy or the baby for making a mistake. You just have to be endlessly patient with yourself. Your mind has gone willy-nilly all these years, and it's just going to keep going willy-nilly unless you patiently pull it back to where you want. That's step number one. And there's another thing you can do. Have an intentional thought that you use to replace ones you don't want. If you're not prepared with a thought, then you're going to notice some negative thoughts and you're just going to think, oh, darn, there I am. And you're not going to know. And you just end up in this sort of argument in your own head. Instead, create a foundational thought for yourself. And the minute you catch yourself going off the rails a bit, don't think about, oh, I just went off the rails, or I'm not thinking right. Oh, what have I been thinking for the last 3 hours? Just the minute you notice it, just default to the beautiful thought that you've set up in advance. Now, we've talked about this a lot. Mine is the same. I've shared it before, and here it is again. My thought is simply, I relax and put aside all mental burdens. I relax and put aside all mental burdens. Gals, when something happens, no matter what it is, if I need to bring myself back to center, that's all I say. I don't spend any time thinking about how long I've been negative. I don't spend any time analyzing the situation. I just instantly take a breath and go, I relax and put aside all mental burdens. Once I've said that a few times with a deep, nice inhale, nice exhale, I'm brought myself back to center. And the truth is, we don't need to analyze where the mind was going. We just notice it and pull it back. And endless patience. Why? Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to realize all of a sudden that hours have passed and you've been thinking negative thoughts. In the beginning, right? And you have to just be going, okay, whatever. I guess I better think my thought, right? Really patient, really, really patient with yourself. So gals, that's an introduction to Peace Pilgrim, who just confirms for us again and again and again what we already know. That our thoughts create our lives, especially through the emotions that they create inside the body, which are magnetic. This is huge, and it's really what we do here in Snippetland. It's all about the mindset, isn't it? Gals, don't forget, next Monday, the 27th, I'm going to start you a little 7-day momentum challenge, which just means we're going to talk about momentum, different aspects of it, and I'm going to give you a daily little action that you can take to get some momentum. And the way we're going to do that is on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday here on the Snippets. I'm going to give it to you. But on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, it's going to come to your inbox. So that means, gals, if I don't have your email, you're going to miss out. So today's the day, gals, that you want to grab my collection of guides. I've got a breathing guide, a journaling guide, a cleansing guide, and more, all available by going to the show notes, tapping the link, and inputting your email. I'll deliver those guides to your inbox, and then you're also in, and you'll be getting all the juicy stuff from Snippetland for the challenge next week and beyond. As I said, gals, it's an ecosystem, not a podcast. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.